Hello, welcome to another episode of Podcast DX, the show that brings you interviews with people just like you, whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis.
I'm Ron.
I'm Jean Marie.
And I'm Lita. Collectively, we are the hosts of Podcast DX.
Allow me to introduce today's guest. With us in the studio is Brittany. Brittany is a college student in the suburb of Chicago and is taking up diesel mechanics as a career choice. Hello, Brittany.
Hi.
A diesel mechanic? My, my, my. We are going to be good friends, you and I. It's still a small group of females entering that career field. Not quite as rare as the 70s when I started, but welcome, Brittany.
Hi. Yeah, in the classes, there's only two of us, so we're getting bigger.
I think when I was in class, that was in 79, I believe. There was me. Mm-hmm. That was it. But there was another girl that had gone the year before me, but she was actually specializing in welding.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Brittany has something else in common with Lita. She has been having a great deal of problems with ovarian cysts. Lita also had a problem with those right after she gave birth to her children, Jean, and her sister, Kim.
Yes. And it was made especially hard because of a lack of appropriate health care at the VA in the care of female-related problems, which I can't go into, but there are several types of functional ovarian cysts. Functional meaning they actually are supposed to happen, and those occur as part of the reproduction cycle. Most of the time, they are painless, and they disappear in a month or so. There are cysts that develop apart from the woman's reproductive cycle, and these can become painful and more serious. They can grow large enough to move the ovaries aside or twist them, cutting off the blood supply to the ovary. This would be a serious complication. Symptoms of ovarian cysts include abdominal bloating or swelling, painful bowel movements, pelvic pain before or during the menstrual cycle, painful intercourse, pain in the lower back or thighs, breast tenderness, nausea, and vomiting. Severe symptoms of an ovarian cyst that require immediate medical attention include severe or sharp pelvic pain, a fever, faintness or dizziness, and rapid breathing. I can definitely relate to these, Brittany. When did you start having symptoms?
About a year and a half ago. But I didn't start having symptoms at all. It just kind of happened at once. So the cyst was growing and growing, and I never knew it was there until it started to twist one day. And from then on is when everything kind of started.
So did you know where to go or what to do when the symptoms started?
Well, when I started feeling the really sharp pain, I was babysitting, and I went in the bathroom, and I threw up from the pain, and it was so terrible that I drove to the immediate care facility by my house, and I called my dad, and he met me there, and I explained to them what was happening, and they said, oh, this is above our level of what we can help you with. So they called the ambulance, and they took me to the hospital, and that's where it all kind of started from.
Wow.
Yeah, that's rough. When I had my problem, it was left untreated for many months. I knew that there was a problem, and they knew that there was a problem, but it was still untreated for many months, which probably made things worse because the swelling of the cyst reached a point, like yours, where the ovaries were moved out of position and twisted, which cut off the blood supply, causing damage that was unreparable for me. My ovaries actually had died by the time they got to them, and I had to have them both removed. It's really important to be aware of your body, to know what pain is normal, what's not, when to see your OBGYN, whenever you have a concern.
Brittany, I'm sure you've learned a lot since this all started, and I'm glad that you were able to find out what was going on and get some help.
Yeah, so was I, because when it all happened and I went to the hospital, no one knew what was happening. I had an ultrasound, I had a CAT scan and all of that, and they were convinced it was a kidney stone. Because the pain was, you know, in my lower abdomen, and it was spread into my back, and that's why I thought it was the kidney stone. And a family friend who was a nurse came by, and she thought the same thing until they got the results of the CAT scan back, and they saw the cyst, and they saw that it twisted, and I was in the hospital for, I think it was like 2 to 3 days.
Wow.
And I was on morphine, and my brother stayed with me all the time, and he was telling me that, like, I'd be asleep, and then I'd wake up in pain, and give me the morphine, and I'd go back to sleep, and it was just on and off. And I didn't have an OBGYN before that, but they called the OBGYN that was on call, and she became my doctor, and I got to leave the hospital. The pain was under control, and she prescribed me birth control, which was supposed to shrink the cyst.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't really do anything for the first month, and I was still in pain. And she prescribed me a higher dose birth control, which was supposed to do the same thing, and that didn't do anything, and I was still in pain. And she ended up just deciding to remove the cyst, because that cyst was like, it was like 8 to 10 centimeters.
Wow.
It was big.
Wow.
And so she took it out, she untwisted the ovary, and you know, it was a laparoscopic surgery, so I was only, you know, not able to do a whole lot for 2 weeks. And she put me back on the birth control to stay on it, to keep it from growing back and all that. And about 6 months later-ish, I started having a little, it was like, it started off as little sharp pains, and I was like, oh no, this can't happen again. So I came back to her, and we did an ultrasound, and that's when we found out that it came back. And this one was, I think, 5 centimeters, so it wasn't as big. But I was back on birth control, she changed it one more time, and I stayed on that for a couple months, and there was one point towards the end of that cyst that I was in the hospital almost every week in pain, like doubled over in pain. And finally she said, you know, we're taking it out. I went into emergency surgery one night, and she did the other laparoscopic surgery, and so that one came out. And I think the third one I had was only like a month and a half later. And I went back to her, and she put me on a Lupron shot, which kind of just shuts everything down in your reproductive system, so you don't go through, you don't live a period, you don't have all of that kind of stuff. And it was a 3-month shot. In the first month, I was still in so much pain, and it was terrible. And I would go see my doctor and ask her, is this normal? Is this how it's supposed to happen? And she would be like, oh, it's fine, and kind of shrug it off. So I ended up changing to a different doctor. And I went and saw her, and I finished a 3-month shot with her. And I was just there a couple weeks ago, and I'm currently the Lupron shrunk the third cyst that I had. And right now I'm on taking a month off of it, and then later on this month I'm gonna go back and get my second round of Lupron, and hopefully kind of cure all this, because the Lupron shot is actually a treatment for endometriosis, which in my second surgeries they found out that I have that, so it's
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah, that's what they. They're trying to cure that and hope the cysts aren't coming back and
sure.
Going through all that.
Right, right.
Whew.
Yeah, that had to be scary too.
Yeah, that was, a lot of questions came up with that, but she said that as long as I keep up with the Lupron and keep up with the birth control, that everything should be fine.
Well, thank God that you actually got to an OBGYN that knew what they were doing and, you know, tried different things. And got you on some type of a regimen that would, you know, hopefully clear things up in the future. So did they say that that's all you're going to have to do then? Is this the shot every 3 months?
She said that having the two shots for the 3 months should be good enough to have the endometriosis under control, that after the next 3 months I can go on birth control, and that should kind of keep everything where it's at.
Okay.
Wow, that certainly was a lot. Thank you for sharing. At the beginning of the podcast, we had mentioned that you are a college student. Everything you've been talking about seems like it's taking a lot of time and energy. How did that interfere, or how is that interfering with your schooling right now and your ability to work?
When it first all started, I wasn't in school. I was on winter break, so that was kind of lucky. But when it came back, I was in school, and with the laparoscopic surgery and the cyst itself, I couldn't do a whole lot of lifting. I just talked to my teachers about it, and they were really like understanding that, you know, I can't do a whole lot of bending and lifting and twisting and turning and all that kind of stuff. And I would wait the, you know, 2 weeks or whatever it was that my body healed, and then I'd come back to it. And occasionally there would be like bad days where I was in pain, and my teachers would understand that I couldn't, you know, lift a tire to put it back on a car, or I couldn't, you know, bend over into the engine bay and do something. And it worked out. For a while there, I was working at a dealership in the city as a lube tech, and, you know, it was oil changes, tire repairs, tire rotations, and that kind of stuff. And when the second cyst got really bad, and I had to have the emergency surgery for that one, there was a point I was working 4 days a week, and I wasn't able to come for like any days. It was bad. Because I couldn't, there was nothing I could do, and I ended up having to leave that job for my health reasons, and it was tough.
Well, what about now? Do you have any restrictions?
Mm-mm. The cyst is gone. I'm pretty much pain-free, so now I can kind of do whatever I want.
Okay, thank you. Although some doctors take a wait-and-see approach with ovarian cysts, your doctor may recommend surgery to remove and examine any cyst or growth that develops on the ovaries after menopause. This is because the risk of developing a cancerous cyst or ovarian cancer increases after menopause. However, ovarian cysts don't increase the risk of ovarian cancer. Some doctors will remove a cyst if it's larger than 5 centimeters in diameter. So the point in life that a woman is in, it also affects the type of cysts and the medical team, what they will do about it.
Right, right. That sums it up. For instance, women that are post-menopause have a higher risk of recurrent cysts that can be problematic. And some women develop a condition called polycystic ovary syndrome. That condition means that the ovaries contain a large number of small cysts. It can also cause the ovaries to enlarge if left untreated. Polycystic ovaries can cause infertility.
Like you were saying, seeing your doctor if you have any concerns is really important. If you have a cyst that ruptures, for example, it can cause bleeding, leading to a possible infection, and it can also be life-threatening if left untreated.
That's correct, Ron. If we're not trying to frighten anyone, but being aware of the serious complications is important. If you don't realize that it can become serious and you ignore the symptoms, you could be asking for trouble.
I hope that all of this information has been some help to our listeners. And thank you, Brittany, for coming in and sharing your story with us.
Of course.
If our listeners have any questions or comments related to today's show, they can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com, through our website, podcastdx.com, on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, or Instagram.
And if you have a moment to spare, please give us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcast.
Please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime. And never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you have heard on this podcast.
Until next time.
Thank you much. Bye-bye.